Hi Nick, how's it going?
Good morning Martin, very well thank you, how are you?
Good thanks, yes, not bad at all, not bad at all.
How was your run at the weekend then?
It was good, yeah.
Early 10k this is, isn't it?
Early 10k, yeah. Well, as you know, it was the big game on Saturday evening, Reading versus Arsenal in the FA Cup semi-final. And I managed to get out to the pub for a few pints, which is probably ill-advised with the 10k the next day. But I knew Silvana was going out in the evening, so I knew I'd have to get back.
Yeah.
So I went out with a few mates and I ended up having 5 pints because, of course, it went to extra time. So that's
extra
an extra pint.
That means at least in good penalties. That would have,
well, that would have been...
That would have meant shots.
I might not have made it the next day, yeah. But I... So I didn't get home too late, so it was all right. I felt a little bit dodgy on Sunday morning, but okay. And then, I ran the race. It was good. I beat my time from last year, which is always good.
Well done.
Yeah, but I had a bit of a bit of a funny incident at the end. I was... So the end of it is like about 100 metres of straight to what, you know, on a field, on a park. And then the finishing line is kind of like this inflatable arch thing, you know. Anyway, so I'm coming up there, and a bit knackered, coming towards the end of the race. But the guy is there on the tannoy sort of shouting, you know, come on, come on. So everyone puts on a bit of a sprint. So I put on a bit of a, stepped up a bit, and I could see this guy ahead of me, sort of about 10 metres ahead of me. And I thought, you know, I'll just try and get him by the finishing line. And if I can beat him by the finishing line, that'd be a good... So I step up a bit and And I get within about a metre of him or so, or 2 metres of him. And then the tannoy goes, oh, we've got a race on here, sort of thing. And he's bigging it up. And this guy looks over his shoulder and saw me. And so he started to speed up as well. So then I started to sprint to try and catch him.
The crowd cheering.
Yeah, it was really funny. And the guy in the tannoy is going mental. And so we were running. And I was running sort of to the left-hand post, if you imagine, of the finish line. And so properly sprinting now, the both of us. And I was catching him, and I was just about to overtake him. And he cut right across in front of me. So he completely cut me up.
He's the Michael Schumacher of running.
Yeah, so I had to sort of like back off slightly. But even so,
take his legs from
I literally, on the finish line, I was right in the back of him. I was right. Kicking the backs of his legs on the finish line. That's because I'd slowed out. So that was a bit annoying. And it turns out, you know, with the times later, he'd beat me by 0.5 seconds over the line, which is really annoying. But it gets worse, because the next day, I was picking Lois up from school, and this little boy came up to me, and he said, my daddy beat you, and I'm like, what? I didn't really understand what he was saying, first of all, so I sort of just smiled at him sort of thing and carried on. And then Lois looked at me and said, Daddy, that's Jacob. His daddy was the one you were racing against at the finish line yesterday.
Oh, so no. Not
only did I get beat on the finish line, I just got ridiculed by a 7-year-old boy, which is not great.
Well,
but there you go.
So do you know this guy then?
No.
Do you know who he is?
I know who he is. I know who he is now after that, because I've seen his mom sort of taking kids to school and stuff, right. Hello and stuff, but
yeah. I wonder if he knew who you were.
I don't know.
I guess like running, looking behind, because he missed, well, there was a little boy there watching, I guess, was he?
I think so, yeah, right. yeah. So
we're going to have to do it again next year now and hope he does it.
Yeah,
and,
I will,
try and beat him.
Hunt him down.
So they go through your mind to trip him up or pull him back by his shirt and dirty tactics.
Yeah, it's all good fun. We had a laugh afterwards, but yeah.
Very good.
So
what's your next event? You're going to book anything else?
I haven't done anything yet. I've not decided. I quite fancy doing the Windsor Half Marathon.
There's that night run, isn't there?
There is that night run in July, yeah.
Just about.
It's a half marathon again, though, isn't it? In the dark. I don't know if I fancy that.
Well, it's kind of dusk, I guess, is it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course, because it's summer, so it'll be light-ish. I don't know. I don't like the idea of carrying your own water bottle. That's the only thing.
You just need to get enough friends and family along various points for the water bottle.
Yeah, that's
you.
A good idea, yeah. We'll see. I'll think about that one. Are you going
to
do it?
I'll see. I've actually... London Marathon's this Sunday, funnily enough, although we're putting this out on Monday, aren't we? So it'll just happen for everyone.
Yeah.
So hip flex has been a bit better, actually. So I've been increasing... Because with the run streak, I'm up to like... Must be nearly 115 days now. And only for like probably the last perhaps 30 or 40 days, I've only been doing the bare minimum of a mile. But the last week or so, because I've been doing a bit of extra stretching, kind of up the distance a bit, so... Did like 2.5-3 miles yesterday, and it felt good. So, if I can keep going that, then that night run might well be in the picture. Hopefully.
Excellent. Yeah, I do like the idea of it. It's just I don't know, carrying your water bottle and stuff is a bit of a pain in the ass.
I think as well as run streak, me and Sophie were saying last night. I think I've been doing drink streak as well. Because I think from being on holiday, like it was 2 weeks ago now, so drinking like a couple of beers every night on holiday, I think I've carried that on now and been drinking like a couple of beers every night since getting back. So
the power of habits.
I'm going to have to knock drink streak on the head, I think, and focus a bit more on run streak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's quite funny, actually. You talk about funny stories. So, because I was only doing a mile or whatever, like I guess the past week or so, I'd go out, do my mile, before I'd go off, like, so should we get a bottle of wine or some beers or something? She'd be like, yeah, whatever, if you want to. And so I'd put my, have my armband on my arm with my phone in and put my debit card in there as well. And I'd do my like mile and a half and stop at the co-op.
Yeah.
And so I'd be there in a bit of a sweat, like with my running gear on, like buying a bottle of wine or a few bottles of beer or something like that, perhaps some chocolate buttons as well. And like after the third or fourth time of doing this, it was like the same person serving me.
Oh dear.
I hope they realised I was going out for a run before buying the alcohol, so it was kind of like I was doing the hard work and then getting the reward. But
you're sweaty because of withdrawal. Yeah. That was the problem.
Anyway. So yeah, the big Google update.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, it hasn't. Nothing's happened yet.
No.
And it's not just really us that hasn't noticed anything. Been keeping an eye on my my SEO list in Twitter, and everyone else is saying they've not noticed any fluctuations in rankings or ups and downs. And I kind of thought, well, you know, Google said a few months ago this will be bigger than any Panda or Penguin update they've done before. So people have been expecting big changes.
Yeah.
At least to the mobile index, or if they were releasing, you know, a new standalone mobile index, they'd see some quite big changes in mobile. But there's been nothing yet, and I think someone from Google put a tweet out saying it will take, or it could take, a few weeks to roll out to make any difference. But
so they didn't just forget to press the button then?
Well, who knows? You know, Google is so opaque about what they're up to and how they do things. But it's interesting because we've had big hopes within the company, I guess, for it to make big changes, but perhaps the pessimist in me a bit over a week before has kind of been, well, if you look at the search results in general, they now start having mobile friendly next to when you're looking on your mobile.
Yeah.
And kind of us and all the competitors around us have already got mobile friendly listed there anyway. So is it going to make any real difference?
Yeah.
I guess the big hope was that they'd run up the Panda and Penguin update at the same time as doing this mobile indexing. And there's been no kind of hint or confirmation from Google about that. Although some other SEO people have been claiming it, but I think that's more out of hope than expectation. But yeah, we'll see. Yeah, hopefully, something might happen soon. For the good.
So the other big news this week was I started, and I assume you did as well, the 30x500 training.
The course, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I they had a kickoff kind of Google Hangout, wasn't it, on Sunday?
Yeah.
So I watched 30 minutes of it. It was like evening time for us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I watched 30 minutes and it's recorded. I caught up the rest on Tuesday, I think. Isabel was ill on Monday, so I had the day off looking after her, puking, watching Peppa Pig. And I think I caught up with it on Tuesday. And it's good, yeah. I've been working through bits and pieces of training material so far. So.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. Although I have been struggling, which I wanted to talk to you about, actually.
Right.
Because we've mentioned it before, I think, but one of their sort of the basic ideas with the 30x500 is to have an audience, or in this sense, an audience is more about, I suppose it's a market, really. It's kind of the people you're going to try and sell a product to.
Yeah.
And they recommend that you have an audience which is something you're part of already. So, because if you're part of it, for obvious reasons, you know the terms, you know bits and bobs about that surround the industry that people from the outside wouldn't necessarily know, and so on. And it makes your life easier when you come to do a product eventually.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the tasks has been to sort of come up with a list of audiences that you're a part of, which is easy. Obviously, you just write down all the things you know about and so on. But you look at the list, or I do anyway, and I kind of think, you know, not very inspiring.
Yeah.
So I've just been struggling with it, really. I just wondered how you've been getting on with it and what your thoughts are.
Well, pretty similar as you. I mean, you know, I've mentioned over the podcast before, you know, I have been working with ASP.NET and Microsoft Technologies for God knows past 10, maybe 15 years.
Me too.
And so I've been looking at PHP and thinking of a change of technology might invigorate some, you know, new ideas and stuff like that. But the whole idea of this is to work in an audience that you're already part of, isn't it? So the audience I listed down were like ASP.NET, MVC, SQL Server, things like that, and they're the things I want to kind of move away from rather than spend the next 3 to 5 years working with and writing stuff about, even your affiliate marketing stuff around voucher codes and stuff like that. Have you got a list of audiences that you
off the top of my head, the ones that sort of are things that seem most likely for me are, again, ASP.NET development. I've been doing that for donkey's years. Qt, we've talked before about my love of
and
the
Qt
framework.
And you're excited about that, right? So,
well, I'm... when I analyze it, though, and perhaps this is the problem, overanalyzing, you know, Qt, I love developing software in the Qt framework. Mm. Now, I've never done any... No, I say I've never done anything commercially. I've done a couple of apps using it, which... if you call about £2.50 sales commercial, then yeah, that's commercially done it now. But I've done it and I've released them through the App Store and all that. So yes, ticking the box, I guess, as being part of that. And that's the other thing. It's kind of about what's your level in the audience as well.
Yeah.
You know, beginner, intermediate, expert, influencer, whatever, you know. But whilst I enjoy writing code and developing against it, you know, I know what developers are like and I'm not sure I want developers as customers, which sounds terrible, but I don't feel inspired to be marketing to developers, I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
There's two sides of it, right? There's the writing the code itself, which you said you enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it the writing text about how to write the code? That's yeah. the bit that you don't want to
I think
do.
If I sat down, so for
the
example...
education material.
Yeah, the education material, you know, writing something... To help people solve a problem, I'm not sure I get so much. I do get something out of it in that I like helping people, but the actual writing down, you know, of it all and getting involved like that, takes a long time and you've got to be pretty motivated to do it. So I don't know. I kind of, as I talk about it now, I think actually that doesn't sound so bad. But but you know, you look at the list and it's difficult to feel inspired. And they do say, you know, don't worry about it, just pick one and go for it, because you're not wedded to it, you know. So once you've, the next stage is kind of looking at the audience and their sales safari, as they call it, and finding the pains and things, and then from that will come the product eventually. But so if you find that the market isn't there, or there isn't a pain that you could solve that people would pay for, then you move on to the next audience.
Yeah. See, what I'm planning on doing for these audiences that I wrote down, and what you perhaps should do is, as you say, you're not wedded to that or any of those audiences yet.
Yeah.
I would pick 3 or 4 of the audiences and spend a week doing this sales safari thing, which is basically, for people who aren't doing a course or don't know, haven't read the blog post, it's looking at forums, isn't it, to find out another online material, places where, you know, for example, Qt developers hang out, to find out what problems they're posting about that you can perhaps write into some educational material or write a product around. So I would pick 3 or 4 of those audiences and just do the sales safari thing, because, you know, the kind of problems you're envisaging, there's no point guessing what the problems are going to be, because they might not be what you think they're going to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And at least, if nothing else, doing the sales safari thing is a good exercise.
It's a good exercise, yeah. That's exactly it. Now, so from that point of view, I'm more relaxed about it. I think what gets me, not anxious, but what makes me worry about picking the right thing is this constant fear I've got about wasting time. You know, so if I pick something and I spend the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or, you know, depending on how much time I've got to spend on it, that's the other side of the coin. It could be a month investigating a particular audience, doing the sales safari.
If Thomas Edison were worried about that, he'd have never invented the light bulb.
You've been reading the quotes from the course, yeah.
No, is that in it?
Yeah.
I think I've said that to you before, though, isn't it? Like, if you try something and it doesn't work, at least you can cross it off your list of something you try.
Yeah, exactly.
So, because the Qt framework thing is something that's been nagging in the back of your mind probably 6 months, maybe a year, maybe even longer. So if you do this sales safari thing around the Qt framework, and if there's nothing there, at least you can get it out of your back of your mind and replace it with another idea, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully it might come up with something good, and you'll find out that it's something you wanted to pursue and do anyway. So
it's the impatience thing, I think.
There's no...
you kind of want it to be a success.
I don't think there's any... loss really to
no and you're learning how to do the you know from the course so the idea from the course is that you go through your forums, mailing lists, etc., and you pick out things that people are saying and so you build a picture of the kind of things that people, so it's the pains that they have, the things that they buy, and that sort of, and their worldview, so basically how they feel about different things, so that you can then identify the products from that. So it's interesting. I mean, it's
see, I thought, when we were talking about it a bit on Skype chat yesterday, you know, because we said perhaps the technical stuff we're not so keen to get into, because of your background of doing Federation of Small Business stuff, I thought small business would be one of your audiences that would be perfect for you, and you'd be like, that's what I was expecting you to say, really.
Yeah, it's on my list, but again, it's very, very broad, you know. So there are thousands of places you can go, they call them watering holes, these forums and mailing lists and so on. So there are thousands of those that you could go to for small businesses. The problem is that each small business is different in its own way, you know. So whilst it is a category, so you'd have to narrow that down.
So just for my, like, because it's one of the things on my list as well. So I went to some small business forum yesterday, and they have the forums split into different subjects, don't they?
Yeah.
So the those different sub-audiences are listed there for you.
Yeah.
And every small business, no matter what the business is, they're all going to have marketing issues. They're all going to have tech issues. They're all going to have...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, invoicing or admin issues. So,
yeah,
you know, marketing is obviously something I'm interested in, and one of the things I put down from all kinds of aspects, from an SEO aspect, from a newsletter, email newsletter aspect, from ads, that kind of thing. So I think the small business and the marketing thing is one thing I'm certainly going to go after. Anyway.
Yeah.
And go and look at.
Yeah, maybe I need to step back from it again. I mean, talking to you about, just talking about it out loud makes you kind of think that actually some of the things you're thinking, I'm thinking in my head, are a bit stupid, really. It's just
some of the questions I just saw, like, I literally spent 10 minutes on yesterday, and there's questions about, you know, how to register a domain name, why isn't my website getting any traffic?
Yeah.
You know, they're relatively basic questions, but there's certainly stuff you can, if you wrote, you could write a course or product or something about, you know, the 25 things you need to do to get your business online and market it. And you think this, when you break it down to all the different things, like registering a domain, getting an email set up, getting a free WordPress site set up, downloading the correct theme, the 5 pages you need to create, getting started with AdWords because you're not going to get any traffic. You know, there's so many
different things. There's a product
there. There is, yeah.
You're right, actually. That's a good point. And I know from my, like you say, through the FSB stuff I've done, I meet so many businesses that need help with this sort of stuff, or that have got all sorts of problems. They know that their area of expertise really well, but all the stuff surrounding it, the businessy stuff surrounding it, they just don't have a clue. Or
all the different social media accounts people expect businesses to have these days.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good, a better goer, so it's less. Because I guess there's another side of it, which is I don't want to... turn something I enjoy into something that's a chore, you know. So the QT framework stuff, I enjoy writing apps in that. I do it not as a hobby as such, but, you know, kind of it's bordering on that. And what I wouldn't want to do is start down that route and end up having a product or something and then hating it, you know. I'm just second guessing myself, I guess. I just need to jump in and do something. So
yep.
But you're right, maybe I could look at the small business one again and try and narrow it down. So far, though, going through the course, like I say, it's really good, and haven't actually had to nail down an audience yet, because it's just been practice stuff so far. But I think the next thing is to nail down the audience and then go for it.
Yeah. Very good.
Cool.
Right. So I guess this leads on to some of the stuff I've been doing this week, actually. In terms of, I signed up another golf pro for offering marketing and kind of social media type services too. And it's interesting, this will feed into the Sales Safari stuff and, you know, audience stuff, because some of the audiences that I wrote down, you know, I'm involved with and could do this, the 30 by 500 course stuff for, like small business owners, SEO people, remote managers, online marketers, and so on and so forth. And it fits in nicely with, it's funny how these things come along. You notice a couple of things at the same time, don't you? So we were listening through some Tropical MBA podcasts, weren't we, last time?
That's right.
You were over on Friday.
Yeah.
And we'll have the links to the show to this particular one. And there was one they did, it was probably about 6 months ago, because we were listening to the back catalogue a bit. And it was 10 product ideas or business ideas that people could pick up and take on that they didn't have time to do.
Yeah.
And the first one they talked about was marketing as a service type thing. So for these small businesses that don't have time to send out email newsletters, manage all their social profiles, run a Google AdWords campaign, you know, manage it for them, charge them a monthly retainer, and off you go. So Gareth, who's the golf pro I've signed up yesterday for this, he's got a good brand and online presence already on a particular platform, Twitter, and he's had a new website built, but he had nothing on Facebook. He doesn't send out an email newsletter and so forth. So I've signed him up to help him with all of that stuff. And leading on from this, brings together a couple of interesting topics, I guess, or things we've just spoken about in terms of Google updates. You know, with the way that VoucherCodes Pro has been going, it's still running at break even and it's ticking along okay, but we're relying on some Google updates to run and you know, to put us back into a nice healthy position in terms of profit and cash flow and stuff. And rather than waiting for that to happen, you know, the people that we've got working on VoucherCodes Pro, they've been writing content, they've been managing the social profiles for VoucherCodes Pro, sending out email newsletters and so on, is taking those skills that these guys have built up from doing VoucherCodes Pro and basically going out and selling marketing as a service and getting these guys to work on that. And almost VoucherCodes Pro becomes a client of that marketing as a service to a certain degree, I guess. So there was two things to, you know, for anyone who's interested in this, is listen to the Tropical MBA podcast where they go through this idea. And then the second thing that kind of came along that made me think about it was an article on TechCrunch where it's called Do It For Me As A Service.
Yeah.
So one of the things was the marketing thing again. And I was like, oh, this is the second time I've read about this within the space of a day or two. And it's something that we've spoken about, myself and Andy, involved in VoucherCodes Pro, we've spoken about a few times. And we've not really wanted to do it before because we haven't, we kind of want to get away from client work and we don't want clients or customers and that kind of thing. But from going yesterday and meeting Gareth and seeing how kind of excited he was about, you know, getting all these things in motion and getting it automated and getting help and stuff, I kind of realized it's not clients that we don't want. It's, I guess, bad clients that we don't want.
Yeah.
And if, as long as you're working with the right people in the right areas and on interesting stuff, then, you know, clients are great, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so I guess perhaps, well,
the only problem with clients from my point of view, the freelancing side again, more so, is you're kind of on the hook for a phone call from them to sort something out or stuff like that. Now, if you've got people to do that, so you don't have to be taking those calls and you don't have to be responding, then, you know, they're not controlling your time in any way then.
Yeah.
But that's the only issue with clients is, you know, for
me
anyway.
So I guess, we're kind of lucky. So there's stuff with Gareth I'm going to take on to start with to figure out what processes and stuff are in place. We need to put in place for other people to be able to do the work. But we have got a team in place already, you know, that can take that work on. So you're right, that burden isn't quite there.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're not going to ring me up because, you know, if you go in, I don't want to say I'm a salesperson, but if I go in to win the business and I'm their point of contact, if they have an issue, they're going to ring you up, aren't they? But
yeah, and you kind of want that in some ways for that sort of business. You want, if they're having an issue, you want to be able to know about it, to be able to fix it quickly rather than it just...
But you can also hand that over to and say, you know, now your account manager is X person, any issues, go and get in contact with them, I guess.
True.
So where the 30 by 500 stuff is interesting is if we do take this forward and do marketing as a service, one of the things is creating content for these people online. And so the Sales Safari thing is interesting, of going and investigating these people's niches and looking on the forums that they would perhaps be involved in or around their topic area and coming up with the problems that people are writing about for us to go in and create content for those things. So
it's a really good skill to have, I think. I mean, I've watched the video a couple of times now and I had a go at it. Have you had a go at it yet, actually doing
it? No, not yet, no. It's kind of today's task, actually.
It's harder than you think because it seems, you watch the video and you think, yeah, that's straightforward, and you go away and do it. And then you kind of, they've got this little sort of virtual hot seat thing where they go through examples of other people that have done it. And so you can kind of compare what you've done against what they say is the right way to do it. And it's hard. It's hard to get it quite right. Because you can, because what you want is to get kind of like the emotion of people. So you can kind of see into their feelings. And then also pick out obviously specific terms that they use that are related to it and all that sort of stuff. And it's quite difficult. I think it's going to take a fair bit of practice.
Yep.
Which again is a good reason not to worry about and the audience to choose, you know, and just pick one and then use it as a playground almost of practice sort of thing.
So the Sales Safari thing is interesting in multiple levels actually for this kind of conversation is that I put small businesses down as one of the audiences that I'm interested in or part of.
Yeah.
I can use that Sales Safari process to come up with marketing material for this marketing as a service thing.
Yeah.
So the stuff that we were just talking about of, you know, the 10 steps you need to go through to get your online presence sorted out, I can write that as an ebook or something and sell it for $25, or it can just be a series of blog posts or a white paper that we put up on our site and use it as a marketing thing for then this retainer type service that we're going to be selling to do the marketing for people.
Interesting.
Because the way I said it to Gareth, I've said it to other people, I took him through all the stuff that we can do for him and all the different social accounts we can manage and do. And I was like, you know, all this stuff that I'm telling you about, you can do yourself, but from me knowing you and how many hours you work and how busy you are and stuff, and because you haven't done it to a certain degree, you know, you don't have time to. So if you've got time, go and do it yourself. If you haven't, because you're earning money doing golf lessons and stuff, you know you can pay us to do it.
Yeah.
And we can help build your business. So.
Yeah, that's...
Accountants are probably better off doing their accountancy work rather than spending time on Facebook.
Absolutely, yeah.
We can do the Facebook stuff for them to find more customers. So.
Yeah. And I think I know a few accountants things locally, and they do already outsource a lot of that sort of stuff.
Yep. It's not an original idea. I mean, there's no...
Oh, absolutely, no.
No shape or form that I'm claiming it is...
but, yeah.
It's unique, but...
The thing is now, you know, we're both going to be in competition in terms of the audiences we pick for this now. I'll have to keep in sync.
Well, you like competitions from your initial thing about racing this guy to the finish line. So.
Competitive streak. So, no, I don't know. We'll have to have a chat maybe about what... Because we've got to nail down which audiences we're going to pick, so we'll have a chat later about which ones we've gone for, but...
Well, I kind of know I'm going for the small business.
You are, you're
marketing type you're one. Yeah,
sticking
yeah.
with that one, okay. Yeah.
Just because it helps on the other marketing as a service.
Yeah, yeah, as well. Yeah, it fits in.
So I guess, I don't know if you, because we haven't done this for a while, because we've been waiting for this 30 by 500 thing to kick off as to do actions for next week.
Yeah. Well, I'm, because I haven't chosen a particular topic yet, I think that'll be one action, is to come back with a nailed down. Yeah. A nailed down.
Do you
want
to commit to doing having done one sales safari for one audience by this time next week?
Yeah, well, more than one. My plan is to try and do one a day.
Right. Okay.
You know, spend like half an hour a day doing the sales safari, and then so next week basically is feedback on that.
Yep. Okay. So for me, it's I've got stuff to do around this marketing as a service business, so I need to get a website up. Basically, what we want to try and do is see whether there's some more quick win customers we can get to kind of prove out the need for it. It's all well and good having signed up one customer, but that may have been a fluke, as we found out before around
that's the thing,
the event stuff around joined up data and so on.
Yeah,
I need to get a site up, and I'm going to reach out to various people and stuff and say, we're doing this, so is it something you're interested in?
So yeah.
Sign up some more customers, but the action is to get the site up, or a site up, and I'm going to do a sales safari, whatever that means for the small, medium business kind of marketing area, so...
This is another thing, actually. So that's a few things you've got on your plate there.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm worried about doing as well, because although the freelancing work is starting to, it's going to be ongoing, but it's kind of like giving me at the moment, ongoing, it's going to be probably 2 or 3 days a week I'll have free to be able to do this stuff. Mm. Not like full days, but, you know, half day here, half day there. I just worry. That's another thing I think about the audience thing is worrying me, is that if I've got more than one thing on the go at once, I kind of want it all to be related.
Yeah.
So and it
either this sort get of busy thing, or drop something then.
Well, yeah, that's it. Yeah,
two choices, really, haven't you?
Basically, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, stuff. What have you got?
I haven't got any stuff actually. Well, I guess those two links that I've mentioned about TechCrunch and the Tropical MBA podcast are my stuff for this week.
There's something in the notes though that I noticed, which I saw this week as well. Better presentation of URLs in search results.
Right.
That's interesting, I think, because it's they're kind of putting a breadcrumb in for you, aren't they? Mm. Is that what?
Well, you need to add. We've done this for VouchCodes Pro. You need to add a snippet, a bit of either microdata or a JSON snippet into your homepage. To say what the name of the site is or what the alternative name is. And I think where Google used to display the search results, you used to have the title, whatever they inferred the title of the page to be, and then the URL underneath it, and then the meta description or whatever bit of text they pull out to display under it.
Yeah.
Rather than having the URL, they're now having the product name or site name, sorry, that you choose, or the breadcrumb trail that you've defined again in microdata or whatever on the site. So, so we implemented it. Trying to think, it was middle of last week, I think, and the change hasn't affected through to Google yet, I don't think.
Okay.
But yes, that's coming. So yeah.
What is their opinion on what they think the impact of that will be on businesses in general? Or
I don't know. Well, it says, I'm just reading from the site now. It says to help mobile searchers understand your website better. I guess because some URLs are long, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what's the point?
So rather
of showing default.aspx ID equals 1 and quote equals 936.
So this kind of harks back to the idea that people always used to say, don't use that ID equals 12345, etc. Have proper names, and you know, Google uses the way your URL structured to determine help determine the content. So I wonder if this is getting away from that a bit, allowing you to define it that way.
Yeah, potentially.
Interesting.
Yep. I was going to say, I don't know why I'd have. Because the name of the site that you put down has to be close to your URL. So you can't kind of mask the identity of your site. Because I was just thinking, if you, part of the reason for having a URL is to show if the title of a site claims to be Google, you can see it's www.google.com.
Yeah.
So you kind of know it's not a phishing site or, infer it's not that. And so part of the guidance is from Google when putting a snippet in is the name of the site that you pick has to be close to the URL. So you can't kind of mask it and say, we can't pretend to be Google by saying in our snippet of XML or JSON or whatever that the name of our site is Google too. But
yep. Cool. The only other thing I found this week is a new running app.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Strava. You've heard of it before. I hadn't heard of it until this week. A guy I played darts with told me about it, actually. And it's quite cool because it's got the standard features, you know, track your run, where you're going, and all the rest of it, the pace. But it's also got this segments idea where if you run a particular section of road, which lots of other people run as well, you can compare times with other people and you can see who sort of owns the road in terms of the fastest time and things like that, which is pretty cool, I think. Sort of like gamification of your running, you know. Yeah. The guy in the pub actually was, when he was telling me about it, he was all excited to tell me that he'd got the record for this particular stretch, and then he went home and he went, oh, bastards beat me. That same day, somebody had beaten his record, right. So he had to go out the next day and beat it again.
And you're saying it links it, because I use RunKeeper, because I'm doing RunStreak, I'm a bit invested, I guess, in keeping on using RunKeeper, but you're saying it integrates with the two anyway.
It doesn't itself, but there's a separate, if you just search about how to get your RunKeeper runs into Strava, there's a guy set up an open source project,
right,
which you basically can link. I think it's pretty much anything that's got an API, any running app's got an API. So RunKeeper, Garmin, you can link them all together, which is pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's it.
That's it from me.
It's quite exciting.
Let's go Sail Safari in.
Yeah, it's quite exciting to be back doing something towards bootstrapping rather than going week to week.
And we got some actions, correctly.
Yeah, fantastic. Right. All right then, speak to you next week.
Cheers.
Cheers, bye.